I couldn't find the button. Looks like somebody's got a case of the Mondays. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. It is Monday. Great to have you back here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Howdy, y'all. Welcome in. How was your weekend? Hope it went exceptionally well. Back to it. Back to the grind. Back to the grind. Which, if the grind is talking about sports in the AM, it's good grind to have. Good grift to get in. I hope, and I am starting with this, deal with it. I hope every one of you marks that stayed up Friday to watch exactly what I told you was going to happen. I hope every one of you woke up Saturday morning tired as hell and couldn't recover. I hope every one of you jabronis
you can't talk about
that
this.
Wasted your time.
You have a rule that you won't talk about something you didn't watch. You didn't watch it.
Didn't need to. Knew what was going to happen.
But you're breaking your own rule.
I can't sit and let you.
So you're going to talk about something you didn't watch. So next time you say, like other people, I watch something when I talk about it. You can't do that now. So you're going against a creed of the show where you said you will not talk about something if you didn't watch it.
You are going to get a Rob Brown today that you have never gotten out of me. Never. Never.
What, it's one that's going back on his word?
No.
Okay, all right.
You are going to get today the Rob Brown that says, and I understand that I risk an emotional wall going up between us. And you know I don't want that, Lonzo. I love you like a brother. You know I don't want to place any obstacles betwixt our incredible relationship that has generated not one, not two, but three South Carolina Broadcasters Association Sports Talk Radio Show of the Year crystal trophies. You know I don't want to do that, but I'm going to.
I don't believe anything that you just said.
Okay, good. Believe what you want to believe.
I don't believe you care.
So, I do care.
Yeah, okay.
I do care.
All right. I do believe that you think you're going to elicit some sort of emotion out of me that you're not going to.
I do.
Because I was a mark this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But
I know.
But not for what you're saying.
Okay.
I was a mark for Saturday night.
Fine.
For paying money
to watch
Stipe Miocic go in there and just stand there and throw less punches than Mike Tyson did. I'd wasted money on that, which I will never spend on UFC again. I didn't spend any money Friday night.
Stop. We're going to come to that. This is the Rob Brown you're going to get. We're not distracting ourselves. We're not derailing ourselves. We're not going to segue off to something else. It is the first time in the almost 5 years I've been here that I am going to say, we are staying on topic. It is what I want to talk about. And it is this show. I'm going to say words I've never said before. It's my show. This is what we're doing.
Okay. All right.
So I will
sit back and allow you to go against your word, what you said for how many years you've been on the air that you would not talk about something that you didn't watch while you talk about something that you didn't watch.
Again.
And you make yourself look bad. You make the show look bad.
I'm gonna
be over here.
A rat's backside about anybody who says
integrity?
Rob Brown's going to get, you know what? I don't, no. See, here is the mentality I've taken for years. The mentality I've taken for years is, if you don't watch a thing, if you don't actually go eyeballs on the thing, you can't get the context and the nuance about the game that happened. This is a fight I used to have with our former colleague Mark Ryan all the time, who would very regularly say, yeah, I checked in on the highlights. I read the box score. I didn't have to watch every second of the game. Now you do. Because you might look and see the running back has only 27 yards in a game and go, oh, they couldn't run the ball. That's great. Why not? Was it a bad offensive line? Was the defensive line owning the point of attack? Were the linebackers sniffing out plays before they started? Was the running back maybe a little gimpy? There's 100 reasons why there was only 26 yards. And if you didn't watch the game, you can't tell me. Here's the thing. I don't need to have watched that fight to know exactly what happened. I stood Saturday night in Sunday afternoon in the tunnel at the Greenville Swamp Rabbit game. And one of the fellas from the team who I spoke to on Wednesday last at the last game that I worked that came down to the tunnel and goes, Rob Brown, you want to go somewhere and watch the fight on Friday? And I said, no, I have no interest in going anywhere to watch the fight Friday. I'm going to be on my own couch Friday night and I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. What's going to happen is 58-year-old Mike Tyson's going to get in the ring. He's going to throw a couple of punches, but he's not going to actually try to hit Jake Paul. Jake Paul is going to throw a handful of punches, but he's not going to try to hurt Mike Tyson. They're going to dance in circles for 8 2-minute rounds. It's going to go the distance. Paul's going to win by a decision. It's what's going to happen. And you're going to get online Friday night, and you're going to see a bunch of people whining and complaining about how boring the fight was and how they wasted their time. And I'm not going to be one of them. And so here I am Friday night, sitting on the couch in the bro cave and watching an episode of the, for the record, watch the undercard fight, the title fight. Between Serrano and Taylor was that's a boxing match. Make a whole card of that, and people will get in. But I said, I'm not going to watch it. In fact, not only am I not going to watch it, I'm going to watch something else on Netflix so that I tie up some of their broadband and hope to keep some other jabroni Mark from wasting their time. I hope I eat up enough bandwidth that at least one person somewhere in America that tunes in to watch this fight can't, and I will take credit for that. I genuinely will. And so that's what I did. I sat there and I played a little Rocket League with the boys and I watched an episode of The Gentleman. And then I just kept checking in on Twitter. Which, by the way, and I know if you watch this live, you got to experience this too. If you'd have told me Friday morning that by the time I went to bed Friday night, I was going to see Mike Tyson's entire booty cheeks in my face, I wouldn't have believed you. But we did. But we did. That, by the way, best part of the night. Not Mike Tyson's ass being the best part of the night. Just the fact that so many of you had to see Mike Tyson's 58-year-old booty cheeks. All right? I hope you enjoyed that. So I get on social media, I start scrolling Twitter, and what do I see around whatever time o'clock it was at night when that fight ended? What do I see? A bunch of jabroni marks complaining about how they got their time wasted. Good. Good. Because I spent months telling you, in what world does a 58-year-old man end the grift of a 27-year-old who is making $40, $50, $60 million a fight off of you marks? Oh, Rob, it was free on Netflix. Yeah, and so will the next one, and so will the next one, and so will the next one be. Because you tuned in. It doesn't matter if he directly took money out of your pocket for that fight. What matters is that you paid Netflix, what, $20 a month or whatever it is. And so do a hell of a lot of other people. And Netflix puts together this big bank account every year. Got bigger this year because I got the NFL on board. Which, by the way, with the streaming issues that Netflix had on Friday night, you think Roger Goodell was sitting in his office like, this is going to be super great. You guys can't wait for Christmas. Can't wait. Nah, he was on the phone with Netflix going, USOBs better figure this out. Like now. But Netflix builds this big bank account. Huge bank account. And Jake Paul went to them and said, I would like $20 million for Mike and about $60 million for myself out of that big bank account. And Netflix goes, tell you what, you get enough people to watch your fights and we'll give it to you. So in what world does Jake Paul risk that grift coming to an end? In what world does he willingly put the ability to make another 60, 80, 120, 180, 240, $500 million off of Netflix down the line? In no world does he put that on the line. So what they do? They shifted to the big, what was it, 16-ounce gloves, which is like getting hit in a with a pillow. It's unbelievable. And you all fell for it. When I told you for months, this fight is not just a waste of time, it's an insult. And all I got was, wait a minute, Rob. Jake Paul's going to get the next generation of boxing fans interested. Did he? Do you think anyone who doesn't know boxing, and I'm not talking about ha-ha funny like Rob says he knows ball all the time. I'm not talking in a comedic way. I am genuinely talking. If you had a young person who knows Jake Paul but has never watched boxing, who tuned into that fight, do you think they walked away from that fight going, I think I like boxing now? No. No. They went, this sport's boring as hell. I'm never watching this again. What a waste of my time. I don't even care if they like Jake Paul. You could be the biggest Jake Paul fan, the biggest Mike Tyson fan. If you walked away from that fight saying, I got my entertainment worth, you're a liar or you're easily entertained. Let me know if that's you. Because I can jingle my keys in front of your face like a child and pickpocket you while I do it. Because you're a clown and you've already gotten robbed once, so what's the hurt of doing it again? It was a joke. And yes, I take it personally. I promise you, the guy that sits in this chair, I'm not a guy who comes in here with made-up takes. I'm not. I never have been. I don't want to be will I exaggerate things for the sake of trying to make it funny or entertaining? Sure. But I don't make up takes. I am personally offended as a boxing fan by what happened on Friday night. And I didn't even watch it. Because there's no argument, none, that it was a good thing. Not one. Because now that it's happened, none of you were entertained. Not a one of you were entertained. Nobody walked away from, maybe you were entertained by the undercard fights. Maybe. And if you are, good. Welcome to boxing. Tell me you're interested. I will start setting you up with some boxing cards to watch to be entertained by actual boxing. People, you know, trying to win. Mike Tyson was not trying to win that fight. There were three different spots. Because I have watched the highlights, as I told you I would. There were three different spots that Mike Tyson, if he wanted to, could have ended that fight. Three different spots where Jake Paul, because he's not a good boxer, three different spots where Jake Paul came over the top, missed, Tyson got underneath, and if he comes up with a Tyson right, I'm not even talking about anything special. I'm not talking about late 90s Mike Tyson. Even 58-year-old Mike Tyson, there were three spots that if he comes up and puts a right on the button of Jake Paul goes night-night. But do you know what happens in that situation? Jake Paul goes to sleep. Jake Paul goes night-night, and the grift is over. He can't make tens of millions of dollars by getting you jabroni marks to tune into his bullcrap anymore. That's what happens. So, just like I told you, Mike was never going to try to be Mike. He was never going to be the Iron Man. He was never going to try to turn the lights off. Because if he turns the lights off, Jake Paul doesn't make any more money. And if Jake Paul doesn't make any more money, I bet you he doesn't pay Mike that night. You guys think I was being sarcastic when I say I believe there's a no knockout clause in Jake Paul fights. I'm not being sarcastic. And if you weren't convinced of that before, you better be convinced of it now. Floyd, as I pointed out when that dumb fight happened, Floyd knocked out Jake Paul, and then he held him up and carried him to the corner and waited till the lights came back on. And then did Floyd throw another meaningful punch the rest of that fight? Nope. Nope. Why not? Because the lights were already dim. Wasn't going to take much to turn him out for good. And I am convinced that this clown, Jake Paul, tells other fighters, if you put me to sleep, you do not get paid. You're not making that $20 million or $40 or $60 or whatever he promises these guys. You were never getting Mike Tyson. I'm on social media at like 6 o'clock Friday afternoon. I didn't have anything to do. I was sitting at the house watching sports, enjoying sports. And I get on social media, and here's all these people. Who do you think's going to win, Tyson or Paul? Oh, Mike Tyson. He's our Mike Tyson. He's the greatest of all time. He's the heaviest hitter. Blah, blah, blah. Look at his training videos. You know, all those 15, 20-second long clips that were edited over and over to make Mike Tyson look like a badass and not a guy whose legs gave out a minute and a half into this fight because they did. You know, Mike Tyson, although he was dancing around in the videos, wasn't he? Yeah, moving, shifting, getting in, getting out, big punches. Did you see any of that? No, because they edited those videos to sell you jabroni-ass marks that this was worth your time. So if you stayed up and watched that fight and you felt like your time got wasted, good. You got exactly what you deserved. You were the type of people that con men and snake oil salesmen salivate over when they roll into that Wild West town. A bunch of goobs that I can convince you of anything and then convince you I have the solution to it. I spent months telling you not to waste your time. And what'd you do? You all let Jake Paul make another $60 million to go out there, put on a dog and pony show. And I hope that having the memory of 58-year-old Mike Tyson doing absolutely nothing for 16 minutes of boxing, I hope that's your lasting memory of Mike Tyson. I hope when it's all said and done, that's what you remember about Mike, because it's what you deserve. Now, when we come back, let's all be in a good mood, shall we? Lonzo's in a great mood. I can tell he wants to throw things at me already. Already.
Oh, no, I'm done.
For the day or that segment?
Maybe forever.
Forever? Ouch. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
You know what it comes down to?
What's coming
my name
to?
Is on this show, too.
Yes, it is.
My picture's on here. I talk whenever I want.
Yes, you should.
Because the boss has told me I could talk whenever I want, but you don't want me to because you said your name's on the show and you are making a stand. So I will do my other job and I'll just sit over here and run the board.
That is not what I
run
want.
Run a tight board. It will be awesome. And
that
amazing.
Is not what I wanted. It never has been. And I've told you that off the air and on it 100 times. The point I was making
we all heard what you said. And here's the thing. I hate when you're this wrong and you are this wrong. There were so many people watching this fight that it broke Netflix. And I think it bothers you that you were this wrong, that you thought people wouldn't watch this.
No, I knew people were going to watch it.
All right, then everybody's stupid and you're smart.
Dude, that's basically. Were you entertained by that fight?
I was entertained by the entire card.
No, that's not what I asked.
The only thing I wasn't entertained by was Roy Jones Jr. I was not entertained by him. I was definitely not entertained by Morrow because I don't know why this guy's still announcing stuff, trying to throw his little jabs in there that he thinks is funny, and it's not. The announce team, horrible. The overall product was really good. Presentation was good.
No love for the Rosie fight, Perez, though?
No, I didn't say anything bad about Rosie. The rest of it was fine. The fight between Tyson and Paul is exactly what everyone thought it would be. I mean, there was a chance that he could knock him out. He didn't do it. He got tired after two rounds. That was it. I mean, knew that was going to happen. He was 58. He came out. He tried to knock him out. He didn't do it. Jake Paul got smart. He tied up any time that it got heated because he knew if he waited long enough that Mike Tyson would get tired, which is exactly what he did. But I'm a mark and I'm stupid like most of the world who watched this. But you're the only one who's smart. And now you say you watched most of it, but you turned it off when you. So you said you weren't watching any of it, but you said you watched some highlights.
Highlights.
Watched the undercard. You just said that in the last segment.
I told you Friday I was watching the undercard.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I absolutely did. I'll go back and pull it.
Go back
because
and pull it.
I said there are entertaining fights on the undercard. Ramos Berrios was a fantastic fight. Katie and Amanda was a fantastic fight. I said that. I don't have a problem. In fact, I went so far as to say. The undercard's pretty good, as boxing goes.
It's pretty sad that you would decide to end this because of this. And that's basically what you've done. You've things between us, as you said, won't be the same. And you were right. They won't be. Because you just went Mark Ryan on me. And I'm getting too old to deal with that kind of crap. So I either sit over here and I be quiet. Or I be me, which you don't want me to be.
No, I absolutely do.
Oh, no, you don't.
Okay. Well, yes, I do, and have since we started this show. But I also spent, again, months saying, if you watch this fight...
You tell me when I talk, and I will talk. Okay. Until then, I'll sit over here and watch.
Okay. You talk at any point you feel like you want to talk, as it has always been. But, like I said, this is where this comes from me. And I promise this is going to be the last we talk about it today. I've already spent too much time on it. And you tell me when and where I am either wrong or am changing something that I have said.
That was permission, right?
You have unbridled access to the microphone, as you always have.
Right.
As you always
have. Right, but I'm giving you what you want because your name is on the show. That's what you said in the first segment. So this is what you asked for, and I'm giving you what you wanted.
What I said was, I am not going to not get to the point that I want to make. I'm not going to segue away from the point that I want to make, which is the sport that I love, the sport that I have defended, the sport that I have protected, and the sport that I want to see go back to the greatness that it once held, which it does not have right now. I had, for the record, the exact same fight with Cody Decker on Saturday. I will have it probably tomorrow night on BetMGM tonight. If I'm the only one, then I roll up the sleeves and go to work. I love the sport of boxing. I want the sport of boxing to go back to what it used to be. And I am aware that it may never do that. We as a country have moved on from this sport, have just moved on from it. And that will be tragically sad if so. But here's what I do know. What I do know is that there was no benefit to that card on Friday. In fact, quite the opposite. There was only damage. There is nothing good that came from that. I'm well aware that millions and millions of people tuned in. And I'm aware that I can only talk about this from my perspective, which is why I welcome your perspective. Because I can only talk about it from my perspective. But my perspective is this. I jumped on and I saw polls going up from Instagram and Twitter accounts with hundreds of thousands of users, with people saying, who you got, Tyson or Paul? And in most of them, 65-ish% of people were picking Mike Tyson. And it blew my mind. Because what that means is 65% of people tuned in thinking they were getting a legitimate fight. What a legitimate fight. It was never a legitimate fight. And I knew it wasn't a legitimate fight when they went to the big gloves, when they went to the pillowcases, when they went to the fluffy ones. Those gloves are I know most of you can't see me because you're on the radio. Those gloves are that thick, which means if you catch a right from somebody, their fist stops about this far from your face. I'm not saying it doesn't hurt. I'm saying there's not knockout power in those gloves. That's why we don't use those except in sparring sessions. That's what those gloves are for. They were sparring gloves. They were, let's make sure nobody gets accidentally slept in a practice session gloves. That's what those are. And so when I get on and I see 65% of people think this is a legitimate fight that Mike Tyson can win, it blows my mind. And the reason I am upset about this, the reason I am bothered by this, the reason I am taking probably the harshest stance I've taken on any event that's happened since I've been here in the upstate. I think it's the things that have heated me are this, Florida State getting left out last year, and I got nothing else. I got nothing else. That's it. Because I love this sport and because I want this sport to go back to being great. And in order for this sport to go back to being great, it's got to be the sport, right? It's got to be the sport. We're going to talk later in the show about the NBA. Because they're considering changing the All-Star game format away from a game and turning it into a four-team tournament style with mini games. So basically you would have three eight-person teams and then the future All-Stars team. And those four teams would play either a straight two sides of the bracket or a round-robin style tournament of mini games, and the two winning teams would play for the All-Star Game Championship. And there's all these like convoluted efforts to try to get people interested in the All-Star Game. There's one way to do that. That's better than all the gimmicks. The way you do it is you come up with the way to make the NBA players care about winning the All-Star game. And I don't know what that way is. I don't know. Because I'm at the point where guys playing in the NBA are the children of people that I watched when I was younger watching basketball. Like the children of players that I watched in college are now in the NBA. I am LeBron's age. Bron's got a kid in the league. All right? So I'm not connected with the 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds in the NBA. I don't know. Is it money? Is it some sort of prestige? Is it a free Lamborghini? I don't know. But if you want people to care about the All-Star game again, then make it a game. Don't make it a glorified dunk contest. Make it a game. I don't know how you do that, but final scores of All-Star game shouldn't be 212 to 208. Make it a game. If I want this sport to go back to being good, then what I don't need is a 27-year-old grifter doing what grifters do and convincing you that a thing is real when it's not. Decker on Saturday tried to blame this on fans of professional wrestling. He's like, oh, you wrestling fans infect everything. I go, whoa, slow your roll, big dog. Slow your roll. You know what the difference is? Wrestling fans understand that the fights that they're watching aren't real and that these are actors portraying characters and telling great stories, and we invest in the stories, right? In what world did the people who tuned in and thought Mike Tyson could genuinely win that fight think this Jake Paul guy is a character? And 58-year-old, you know how I know that? End fight the last 13 seconds of the fight. Mike Tyson needed a knockout to win that fight. Do you think youthful Mike Tyson with 13 seconds left in the fight, knowing that he needs a knockout, is just going to stand there? Jake Paul, remember the guy that told you on Thursday night that Mike Tyson, quote, has to die, end quote? He bowed to Mike Tyson with 11 seconds left in that fight. We took it for real? Again, I apologize to anybody who took this personally, specifically and foremost Lonzo. It ain't meant to be. But when you come after something I love, and boxing is a place I cut my teeth in this industry, as Jake Paul and Mike Tyson just did, yeah, I'm going to take a hardline stance to defend it. And always have. This shouldn't be new. All right, back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great Lonzo with you this AM. 844-326-3663. That is the number to the Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas Fan Phone. 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. Text us at 71307. 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, and we will read them on the air. You can tweet me at the Rob Brown Show. You can tweet Lonzo at Lonzo on Word. You can tweet all of us at the Fan Upstate. Texter said, cock-a-doodle-doo in my best Rob Brown promo voice. How about them Gamecocks, baby? Big win for the Gamecocks and Clemson both this weekend, and both of them with something in common. Both of them coming down to the last drives inside the last 2-3 minutes of the fourth quarter. Of course, the Gamecocks at the house against Mizzou. Clemson on the road against Pitt. The Tigers were trailing late, and then Cade Klubnik did Cade Klubnik things. Can I get some, there's my audio. Cade Klubnik takes it 50 yards to the house on the ground for the dub. And we'll start with the play itself. Pittsburgh in a prevent defense. Pittsburgh was 50 yards away from what would have been a game-winning touchdown. They backed everybody else off. There was a lot of room. But my question here is, why are we not scheming more of that into the offense for this cat, right? Like, we interviewed Dabo Swinney at ACC Media Days. We've had him on a couple of times during the reign of Cade Klubnik. And I have heard Dabo Swinney say to other people, to us, on this show, on this station. I've heard him say it to Diesel and Cole before. He said it to Zoe and I. He has said 100 times, I want to see Cade run more. I want to see him using his legs to make plays. I want to see him utilizing his legs. And I assume that, or at least I have to now. I have to assume that what he actually meant by that was we don't want to see him run so much as we want to see him extend plays, right? We don't want to see him run so much as we want to see him use the legs as a last escape. If the pocket is breaking down, if the defensive line is generating pressure, we want him to be able to extend a play left and right or up the middle. In order to try to back a defense off a little bit. That's the vibe that I am getting now. Because when I see that run in that moment, and you can see the natural talent of Cade Klubnik as a runner, why is that not being played into more, right? Rough estimate, Clemson fans. Words are hard. Rough estimate. What percentage of the offense do you believe is Cade Klubnik generated designed runs? 1%, 2, 5, 10? I don't think it's that high. And again, like you hate to nitpick. When you go get a win on the road at Pitt, a team that has just fallen out of the top 25. Not a bad Pitt team. It ain't a great Pitt team, right? They ain't, well, I don't know if this counts anymore. They ain't Miami, right? They ain't Notre Dame. It's not going on the road and getting Ohio State or Georgia. But it is the type of game that on the road, it is the type of game that can throw a wrench into the system. It is the type of game that can cause a problem. It is the type of game that can ruin a season, frankly. And again, you know this. This isn't a shock. Clemson is still very alive for an at-large bid in the playoffs. And yes, that is the goal, right? Like, is there anybody who thinks that having a wonderful time and ending up in the Holiday Bowl is the goal? Probably not. The ACC championship game is a goal. Making the playoff 12 is a goal. That is the type of game. That is the type of game that can ruin a season if you end up dropping that one. So, you went on the road, you got it done. You allowed Pitt to hang around. You allowed Pitt to make it interesting down the stretch. So when I see that come out, and again, context and nuance matters. The context of that run is that run came against a prevent defense. The context of that run is that run came against effectively a 5-deep look from Pitt. So not every time Cade takes off is he going to have the first 8-9 yards of room to operate before he gets to the second level. But when he got to the second level, he saw, he diagnosed, he changed position, he changed speed, ran through a couple of linebackers before he got to the second level, changed direction against the pursuit angle of a couple of safeties and cornerbacks, right? Like, that was a well-executed run from Cade Klubnik. And that's kind of the question for me, is if that's in the bag, why is it not coming out more often? If that's in the bag, why is it not a bigger part of the offense? If he's got that in him, and again, Dabo Swinney spent this offseason saying specifically, right? Like he doesn't give you in the offseason a ton of specific dialed in, more than generic coach speak diagnoses of what he expects to or wants to see moving forward. He just doesn't. And this isn't just him. It's most coaches. But he gives you very little in terms of, we want to see player X do Y in these games, and especially dialing it in to certain circumstances. And I feel like his bringing up Cade Klubnik and wanting to see him run more and be more active with his legs. Like, he said that a number of times. So here we go. It's late in the game. Clemson's, I'm not going to say season is on the line, but their playoff hopes are. And if the goal is playoffs, then yeah, Clemson's season is on the line. Pitt drops back into a prevent defense. Cade Klubnik recognizes that. Takes a snap, hangs in the pocket for just a second and waits and watches and evaluates and allows the second level of the defense to drop back into their coverage. And that type of prevent defense, you're normally going to go quarters deep. You're going to have four DBs that drop. You put four across the defensive line. Now you got three more guys. They are usually playing some sort of zone in the middle of the field between the DBs and the offensive line, wherever that might be. I thought this was brilliant execution from Cade Klubnik. He takes the snap. He drops in the pocket, eyeballs down the field. Got to keep DBs honest. Got to keep that middle line of defense, those linebackers. Got to keep them honest, right? If he takes that snap and looks down and starts looking at his offensive line, trying to see where a hole opens up, linebackers aren't dumb. They're going to see that. They're going to see that. Oh, he's thinking run, and they're going to stay up. So Cade takes a snap, takes his drop, is eyeballing down the field, heads up, looking at wide receivers, one, two, three, trying to find his spots. That forces the linebackers to take their zone spot, to drop back off the line of scrimmage, 8, 10, 12, however deep they're going to be. It forces them to take that drop, to move to the second level and move the second level of defense back, give a little cushion. He sits, he looks up, he waits. The linebackers drop off their position. Cade Klubnik then tucks it and intentionally attacks the line of scrimmage. Waits, lets the hole develop, finds out where it is, bang, hits it, next level. Now he's up against the linebackers. Except for, now he's got a full head of steam. He gets to create the angle. He creates the angle, and he makes those pursuit players work a little harder. One guy makes a mistake, he takes advantage. Two guys make a mistake, bang, I'm on to the third level. Cade Klubnik put that team on his back in that moment. That is a spot that I don't think a lot of quarterbacks have the guts to make that move in that spot at that time. A lot of guys are going to drop in that pocket and go, I gotta win this thing, right? I got to Hail Mary this thing on down the field. We got a little bit of time. Maybe I can find somebody 5, 10, 15 yards shy of the line of scrimmage, or excuse me, of the goal line. Maybe I can find somebody on the under route. Maybe I can find somebody working the sideline. It felt to me like Cade Klubnik knew exactly what he was going to do in that spot. That didn't look like it was something that he dropped in the pocket. Oh, nobody's going to get over. It's a Hail Mary. Nobody's going to look open on a Hail Mary, on the Ave Maria. Nobody's going to look open. They're either going to be open or they're not. And nobody was. But it didn't matter because I think Cade Klubnik knew when he got the ball and looked and sees linebackers dropped, sees effectively a four deep safety cornerback set to defend the goal line, to defend from the touchdown with the game on the line. I think he had run on the brain all the way. And even if that, because again, he's working over to the sideline, right? Once he gets past that linebacker level, he's working to the sideline. I think he knew in that spot, if I need it, get out of bounds, but we got plenty of time. And if we got to create a red zone stand and inside the tent, whatever the case should be, if we can get wherever we need to get to put this, to make a realistic red zone scoring opportunity, so be it. But I think that young man put that team on his back. I think that young man recognized the spot that they were in. I think that young man recognized there's not anybody else who's going to be able to do what I have the ability and the talent to do. The ability and the opportunity to do in this moment. And again, I to me, that was a moment for a guy that 3, 5, 6 weeks ago, we were talking about, that's a Heisman candidate. That's a Heisman candidate. And then he wasn't anymore. That Louisville game took all the wind out of the sails. A cat that we were elevating up there with Cam Ward, with Dylan Gabriel. A guy that we were putting on a 2-loss team into a conversation with names that were from undefeated Power 5 teams. That was that guy. That was that cat. And in the Louisville game, it kind of felt like the offense changed. It kind of felt like the offense turned around a little bit. It kind of felt like the offense was not the same offense. And again, I made the observation that towards the end of that Louisville game, Dabo was suddenly creeping. Dabo was suddenly in the huddle. Dabo was suddenly looking at what appeared to be looking at a game plan. Dabo apparently started to get more involved. And I think I said it on Twitter that night during the Louisville game. I know I said it on the next show. That moment, that spot, got me concerned. Because I told you what my theory was up until week three or four, whatever it was, that everything changed and everybody started going, uh-oh, maybe Clemson is still that same team. Maybe they still got it. My theory that I was working with is, and I still feel pretty good about it for the record, my theory was that Dabo's over-involved. My theory, and we dated this back to preseason of last year when Garrett Riley got hired, and we were there at Clemson Media Day. We were there. When Dabo said, I was 6 feet from him. When Dabo said, we did not bring Garrett Riley here to have Clemson run the Garrett Riley offense. We brought Garrett Riley here to have Garrett Riley run the Clemson offense. And I was like, ah. It caught my attention then. I said something about it. As a matter of fact, I said something about it that day. That day, I talked about it. I said, I don't love this. I don't love this. I don't like this at all. I don't love this because to me, why make that hire if that's the guy? Why make the hire if that's the guy that you were going to bring in and then say, yeah, yeah, but don't bring all the stuff that made you arguably the most attractive offensive coordinator hire in the game. We're gonna give you your stuff, right? We're going to tell you. I've got somebody very, very close to me that was in a creative role for a company, right? Was brought in because this individual, a phenomenally creative person, and they lauded the work that this individual did as a creative mind. And so they brought this person in and they set him up and gave him a beautiful tech spot and all this different stuff and said, create for us. And they said, okay. And they got to work. And then this individual started getting middle managed. Then this individual started having their direct report come in and say, yeah, I know you just made this thing, but I want you to change it to this, this, and this. And yeah, I know you made that thing, but change it to this, this, and this. And I know you made this poster, but I'd like it to look different. Or I know you made this the voiceover commercial, but I'd like it to sound different. And this person stayed at that job for like 6-8 months and was like, yo, deuces, I'm out. I'm not doing this. This is not what I'm here for. This is not why I'm here, right? And they took off and they found themselves a new job. The point was they had this asset. They had this weapon, this creative mind that could have done a lot to help them, and they ran it off by saying, yeah, but we still want you to do things our way. Well, then why the hire, right? And that was my concern, was if you're going to bring in Garrett Riley, but then you're going to say, but we still want you to do everything the way that we do it, then why bring him in? What's the point? Is it just to prevent anybody else from getting him, right? Because that's not a great spot. And if you want to extrapolate this to a longer conversation, how does this make you more attractive to more hires down the line? If there's another up-and-coming white-hot coordinator and they're interested in Clemson, but they look and they go, yeah, if I go over there, I don't get to run my stuff. I don't get to use my mind. I got to just do Dabo stuff, right? That's a long-term ramification. But the short-term ramification was, how is this going to be any different than the last three or four years that Clemson fans were complaining about? I don't know. And so when I look at the last three games, including the Louisville game, where I'm starting to see Dabo creep on the offensive huddle, I'm like, is my theory back in line now? Right? Is this a spot now where I'm like, we're going right back to what wasn't working? Is that the spot that we're in? Is this what we're going to do? And here we go late in that game. Cade had to take over. And I do wonder, is that in response to the offense kind of being bogged down a little bit? I don't know. But what I do know is props to Cade Klubnik. Because that man put that Tiger backpack on and carried that load to the end zone and won you that football game. That's good work from Cade Klubnik. All right, coming up in the next segment, we got the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet. Top three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office on this lovely upstate Monday morning. Then we'll talk Gamecock win over Mizzou. Coming up after that, we'll get some NFL news and notes from the weekend. John Blau of the Post and Courier will join us at 8:40. To talk about Clemson's win over Pitt on the road. All of that and more coming up over the next 3 hours after Lonzo blows your mind with this sports flash.
In the third quarter, the Chargers held a 21-point lead. In the fourth, they needed a 29-yard touchdown with 18 seconds left on the clock to finish off a 34-27 victory over the Cincinnati Bengals. Justin Herbert went 17 of 36 for 297 yards and two touchdowns in the win. Kansas City Chiefs suffered their first loss on the season to the Buffalo Bills, 30-21. Josh Allen threw for 262 yards and a touchdown and ran for a decisive touchdown on a 4th-and-2 late in the game. The Chiefs are now 9-1, and the Bills improved to 9-2. Clemson basketball fell to the Boise State Broncos yesterday, 84-71. The Tigers were led by a 30-point effort from Chase Hunter, but had only one other starter in double digits. Tune in this Friday at 7 p.m. as the Burns Rebels continue their run in the playoffs against the Spartanburg Vikings. It's Burns versus Spartanburg right here on The Fan Upstate.